Hello, everybody.
Welcome back.
It's Nerd Spastics for the week of April 20th. And as always, we'll be discussing this week's news in gaming, film, and television. And, well, everything in between. I'm Sean.
And I'm Tristan.
We had a big week this week, more for, you know, the Star Wars universe than anything.
Yeah, that's what mostly dominated the news this week.
You know, actually some really cool news came out of that for the new Episode 7 and a couple for the video game-wise. And we'll definitely get to that today. And I think, first off, always, you know, we actually have something else special for you guys today. Later on in the show, we'll be doing a loot crate opening for
everybody
the
loves loot.
Loot, 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 loot. And we'll actually be giving away some items from that. So without further ado, let's start off with some toasty video game news. All right, we're going to start things off on our usual little way.
Always with Blizzard.
Blizzard. Actually, no, last week we did not start with Blizzard, so that's all right. You know, we took a break for a little bit. but Heroes of the Storm got a release date.
Yes, and actually quite a bit sooner than I was expecting.
Yeah, so June 2nd will be the release date of Heroes of the Storm, which is funny because Tristan and myself just got into the closed beta like a week ago.
Yeah, it seems to be they're just kind of throwing closed beta keys out there like mad. And kind of the weird thing is it's going to be going to open beta 2 weeks before it gets released.
Yeah, that I don't understand that at all. You've been throwing closed beta keys out like crazy, and then you're going to do open beta 2 weeks before the game actually comes out.
Yeah, my only guess is basically that's a server test to make sure that they have the server capacity, so they'll do open beta and get the most of the flood that they will get for players, and then like have the thing fully open to the public on the second.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of stuff to come out at once. I mean, Hearthstone's still going with Blackrock Mountain. They still have one more wing to open, as well as everything else going on with WoW and, you know, a couple other things, WoW tokens and this. Like, Blizzard has a lot on their plate, it seems.
Yeah, and it seems to be by design. You know, now it's kind of every few months there's some sort of Blizzard expansion or whatnot going on, as opposed to waiting years between a new Blizzard kind of game you could get your hands on.
And we should state that actually we have the closed beta keys, but we haven't played it yet.
Yeah, it's on the list, but haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, out of everything coming out and everything going on right now, it's a low priority. we will try it at some point. You know, we'll try it this coming up week, and we'll let you guys know how it is in next week's show.
Yeah, I've been very curious to try it out because I've tried a couple of the other MOBAs. I haven't really gotten big into them, but this seems like it would be more fun the way Blizzard is structuring. It seems a little more friendly to new people.
Now on to a game and company I really actually enjoy, and it's basically Marvel has partnered with Telltale Games in 2017 for a series of games.
Which, that's exciting, because kind of the way their art style is, it really seems like it would lend itself to a comic book-based game.
Definitely. I like a lot of the, you know, they've had a lot of big properties over at Telltale recently. Back to the Future was one of their first, and they did Jurassic Park, which I talked about, and was story-wise, it's fantastic. And then recently, they actually just did Game of Thrones, as well as Walking Dead. It was huge for them as well.
Yeah, and then they've also done a couple other properties in the past, so they've made a little bit of a history. They've done Borderlands, so they've kind of done playoffs of other games too, which is kind of odd when you have them making a parody of another game.
And it's good to see the story structure game come back. Like, it was really big in the 90s with Monkey Island and Sam & Max, which they do now as well, that were LucasArts actual games. It's a game, the type of games I really enjoy, and I used to love playing them, especially like Monkey Island and Sam & Max. To see this come out with the Marvel Universe would be really cool.
Yeah, it almost seems like it'd be an interactive comic book, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I would hope to see them actually in Telltale's poker versions of these games. It would be kind of cool to see.
Yeah, I wonder what property they'll end up going with first, or if they'll try to go with a property with an upcoming movie So to kind of time the release and get the extra buzz from that.
That's true. I wouldn't be surprised to see more of like an Avengers type of thing, where you can have multiple characters in a game series at once with different episodes.
Yeah, most likely, because they do a lot of ensemble work, especially with, you know, with Game of Thrones, with The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that, so overall, I think it's going to be a great thing, and I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see kind of what they end up doing story-wise. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun, and that's kind of what they excel at, is just the great storytelling.
Yeah, so we're not going to do our normal thing today at all, because we basically have Star Wars news, as you can hear, for Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, they pulled out all the stops for Star Wars Celebration last week and announced a lot of things.
Yeah, so we're going to jump right into this. And since we're in video game news, technically, we're going to go right into Star Wars Battlefront news.
Yes.
Which was very cool to see that opening trailer.
The trailer looks fantastic.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, the graphics alone were, it was spot on.
Yeah, but the question is what will the finished game actually look like? Because they said, you know, during the little disclaimer, says rendered in engine. But what does that mean? Because a lot of times at these shows and whatnot, they're running on a high-powered PC, which
it's
is
true.
Mimicking the power of a system.
Well, the trailer actually was, the trailer they released was run off the PS4. So that was kind of cool. So you at least got a glimpse of what the PS4 version looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they announced that more information would be coming in E3. So,
yeah,
at least for gameplay wise.
The hope is there'll be a playable demo at E3 because they didn't actually really show any gameplay footage, just the trailer.
Yeah, one thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, though, was that when they announced there would be no single player campaign.
Yeah, that's really disappointing. We're seeing a lot more of kind of multiplayer only games.
Yeah, for you guys who don't know Star Wars Battlefront, basically Battlefront is a game where you play as usually like just a regular person in a battle for the Star Wars universe, like the Battle of Hoth, the Battle of Endor.
Yeah, you're a rebel or a stormtrooper or something. You're on one side or the other.
Yeah, so basically you have to like go through the whole battle and like try to win the battles and collect items and such like that, so...
Yeah, and we've seen kind of more games coming out that are only multiplayer only, and my big worry is that there isn't really going to be any sort of story element to it.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what they're saying right now, is there's no story element, but there's going to be, like, solo missions and multiplayer and stuff, but it's just...
Yeah, which kind of really reduces my excitement for this, because I've played some of Titanfall. The gameplay itself is fun, but there's no story or anything that really goes along with it, just a little intro cutscene. And similar thing with Evolve. So if that's how this is going to play out, that doesn't really, because part of what makes the Star Wars universe so great is the story of it. So if we're just going to have another generic shooter but set in the Star Wars universe, that doesn't make me want to plunk down $60 for the game.
Yeah, even as great as it does look. I mean, and the fact that what confuses me is in the original Battlefront, there was, you know, you had to pick classes, you had to do that. There's no classes in this one. They didn't say how you would do it, but there's no classes.
Yeah, so I wonder if it'll go kind of towards what they've been doing, whereas you get money to the start of each game. You can, you know, buy your starting weapons, and then as you play, you get experience, you get more money, and you use that to buy new weapons. I wonder if they're going to go with that strategy.
Yeah.
Or we'll hopefully see more of what it's going to be at E3, but my excitement is very diminished.
Yeah, I mean, they did say you can play as different heroes, and they showed Vader as one of the heroes you play as. Well, heroes in parentheses, obviously, but...
Yeah, but then I wonder, okay, how do you end up balancing that if someone can play as Vader and you're just a stormtrooper?
Yeah, you're not going to have much luck.
Yeah, so I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm a little nervous about this now.
Choke throat across the room.
Yeah, versus a blaster that always misses.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so it looks like Boba Fett may be making a reappearance, possibly, maybe
possibly.
Not. So it's kind of unclear, but a member of the Lucasfilm story group has said that Boba Fett is simultaneously alive and dead in the Sarlacc pit until a story pulls him out.
Which I would really hope that does happen. I mean, in the expanded universe, which doesn't exist anymore, Boba Fett was pulled out by the bounty hunter Dengar.
Yeah, and they really kind of wiped the slate clean of all the previous canon, probably partially why, to just to give them a clean slate to say, okay, no, he's dead, we're going to move on from this, or we do want to include him in either a game or a future film or whatnot.
Well, I guess game-wise, they can include him because they're allowed to, like, mix up the story, like, do different past or future stuff with characters in games, but it's story-wise, I guess that's really where it comes, is he alive or dead?
Yeah, but he could also show up in a different film that takes place in a different part of the timeline.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool to see a prequel, maybe, of Boba Fett as an adult. I mean, yeah, we've seen him, sadly, we've seen him as a kid in Episode 2, and Jango, his father, whatever. And but it would be cool to see a more exclusive look on him during the times of, like, A New Hope and like, before Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, and honestly, it's like, if we don't get to see a whole lot of Boba Fett, I'm not going to be too sad, because there's enough other characters. They're bringing in a bunch of new characters. There's going to be plenty of people to focus on. They're bringing in new villains, which we saw from the new trailer. So if he doesn't come back, I'm not going to be too saddened.
Yeah, it would be nice to see him, though, overall. I think they will do it. I know Disney enough now where I think they will speak to what the audience kind of wants on that.
In some way, he'll probably have at least some sort of cameo in, like, another film that might take place at a different timeline, just to kind of throw the audience that bone for those fans who do love Boba Fett.
And it could be, to be honest, it could be Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah, since we did get some more news about that this week.
We did enjoy it. We'll talk about that in a second, but we'll talk about the main big news, obviously, which was the new Star Wars Force Awakens trailer.
Yes.
That was big. Impressed the hell out of me. That's all I know.
It looks absolutely great. Although kind of the odd thing I found about this, as well as the Star Wars Rogue One trailer, is it's not voiced by any of the new characters. It's all voiced by the previous cast.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker was, like, the only voice, and, like, it was cool hearing him, his voice, and it was definitely a new recording.
Yeah.
Which was definitely kind of cool. You know, with the opening with the wrecked X-Wing and Star Destroyer in the sands of Tatooine, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, just the visuals look great. I mean, it seems like the cinematography is going to be top-notch. It's not going to be kind of the really crummy-looking CGI we got with the prequels. And kind of one of the exciting things I thought that came out of the Star Wars Celebration is on stage, they brought on an actual working robotic BB-8.
Yeah,
because when I initially saw the first trailer, when we saw BB-8, it's like, oh, no, not another, like, cheesy kitty CGI droid thing. But it looks like they have an actual working model.
Yeah, they're actually selling it as, like, a toy, I guess, for, like, over, like, $150. Like, it actually works.
Yeah, so that's neat that they actually designed and physically built something and didn't just do a CGI model for all those shots.
Yeah, no, it definitely seems like they're actually going ahead with it, with, like, real stuff, like Peter Matthau as Chewbacca, but actually dressed as Chewbacca, not just, you know, a CGI version of Chewbacca. And that really ups my spirits for the movie.
Yeah, kind of what impressed me, too, is, like, the way it's shot, the colors and everything, it has kind of that original bit of a 70s look and feel to it, as opposed to the prequels.
Yeah, one thing that actually really got my was when they had Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill's voiceover, talking about how the Force is strong in his family, and, like, it showed the melted Vader mask, and then it was, like, talking about how he had the Force and Leia had the Force, and then he said, and you have it too. And I'm like, who is he talking to?
Yeah, well, it seems obviously to be either a kid of his or Leia's, seems to be what it would be, since he's talking about all family throughout that.
Well, we know that, actually, we don't know anymore because Expanded Universe is gone, obviously, but Han and Leia had a son and a daughter. Obviously, one of his sons turned to the dark side, but, like, he had two twins and a son, so.
Yeah, so this very well could be a similar thing where Han and Leia had a kid and Luke is training them in the use of the Force.
Yeah, because I don't see Luke having a kid. I mean, I know he did later on in the Expanded Universe, Ben Skywalker, but I really don't think he would have a kid in the new ones based on the Jedi code of, like, you know, marriage and kids and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could go either way since he is basically the last Jedi left, so he can make his own rules.
Well, we don't know that at this point, actually. 30 years later, I mean, he really couldn't be. Yeah. Obviously, the big, big part of the trailer was Chewie and Han at the very end, actually seeing Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Yeah, that was nice to see them again, and the scene of the Millennium Falcon flying through the wrecked Star Destroyer was a great scene.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Just going through that, and then, like, like when he just stops and says, "Chewie, we're home," and you see them in the old familiar crossbow held by Chewbacca, and then Han Solo standing there. That was a really cool, epic scene.
Oh yeah, it was great, kind of seeing him in that garb again, seeing Chewbacca again. Like, so it brought back a lot of nostalgia. But it does kind of bring up a little bit of the strange thing is that this particular trailer definitely focused on kind of the old bits of it, because we saw Luke with kind of a new robotic hand. We saw him handing a blaster, presumably to Leia. So they didn't really focus too much on the new characters.
No, not really. There was a couple. I mean, obviously he's talking to a new character. We know that. However, there was a scene where if you look in the trailer, and I've seen this online a lot, and people are right, it seems like one of these new characters, the one who's dressed as a stormtrooper, I forget what the actor's name for that role, he has Luke's old lightsaber.
Huh.
From Empire Strikes Back, which was cut off with his hand. So that brings an interesting plot point, which I know there was a lot of talk going around about maybe like someone getting their hands on Luke's old lightsaber with his hand and stuff.
Yeah, so I wonder if that was found in the wreckage, because the whole thing with the new female lead is that she's a junker basically on Tatooine.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, well, he lost the lightsaber on Cloud City, so I'm not sure where that would come up or how they would get it. But you know, it's Star Wars, so somehow, you know, if that's the case, someone will find it.
Yeah. In the whole wide universe, someone will find something that's the size of half a baseball bat.
Exactly. So the other news, obviously, was the other Star Wars movie, which is Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah, and this, I thought, again, it kind of ties into the other one, is like this, they used a speech from Obi-Wan from one of the original movies as kind of the voiceover for this new trailer.
Yeah, hearing Alec Guinness's voice was very nice, actually.
Yeah, that was fantastic, but it's, again, they are definitely focusing on the original actors and the original trilogy throughout this whole thing. You know, there hasn't been any kind of nod to the prequels yet, or even really the new characters in it.
I think a nod to the not having a nod to the prequels is a very good thing.
Oh, definitely.
It ticked a lot of people off, so you want to kind of stay as well clear as that as possible. And I don't know if you saw this. Basically, on YouTube, there's a video of a guy at Star Wars Celebration dressed up as George Lucas protesting outside of Star Wars Celebration, holding a sign that said "Greedo shot first" and holding a Jar Jar Binks stuffed animal.
And I heard about this. I didn't see it, though.
Yeah, he was outside, and he's just chanting that these are my movies, Greedo shot first, and that he would be releasing these movies on his own, again, digitally remastered.
Well, I also saw something, a headline on another article saying that George Lucas hasn't seen the new trailer yet.
Yeah, I think he's a little upset, I think. I think he doesn't really want to be involved as much as he said he was going to be.
Yeah, he probably wanted a bigger role in playing the part with this, and they basically said, nope, you signed it over. This is all JJ. You are done.
Yeah, basically.
Which is for the best.
And I guess, like, he said the direction it was going during pre-production wasn't the way he envisioned it. So I guess maybe is a reason why he kind of took a step back after that.
Which, probably for the best, given what he's done to the original movies.
I mean, to be honest, we owe the man a lot. He made Star Wars. He created the saga itself. You know, the anthology, the background. He deserves all the credit. He's the founder. He shouldn't have messed with it afterwards. But now he just needs to leave it alone and give it to other people in their hands.
Yeah, because my hope is now that it's in Disney hands, we will get the original theatrical versions released on Blu-ray at some point.
At some point.
Yeah, and actually online, through various means, there is a despecialized edition that someone made. And this is like a person who actually does like color correction type of stuff for a living. So he pulled from all these different sources to stitch together a copy of A New Hope without all those extra scenes in it. So it is as close to theatrical as you can get, but upgraded to HD.
Yeah, which is kind of cool and sad at the same time. Yeah. Fans have to go out and do this because all we want is original versions. I still have my original VHSs because I love the original theatrical versions so much, but you can't find them.
Yeah, but so the fact that this guy was able to stitch this together between pulling images from the Laserdisc, pulling some images from the Blu-rays and all over the place, shows that if this person can do it on their own, it can be done.
It easily can be done, which boggles my mind that they released these digital copies as special editions when no one wants them.
Yeah, and it's obvious no one wants them.
All you're doing is tricking someone into maybe buying it.
Yeah,
and that's about it.
And then buying it again once they do come out with the theatrical version.
Exactly, that's a money grab. That was kind of like sad on their part, and I don't agree with it. But we're kind of getting off topic for Star Wars Rogue One, but that's fine. We're still in Star Wars mode. So basically, for Rogue One, they officially announced that the story would bridge the gap between episodes 3 and 4, which is kind of cool. And it'd be the rebel spy stealing the first Death Star plans, which we had hypothesized a few episodes back.
Yes.
So we were right on. Congrats. Yeah.
Yeah, prediction successful. And so this is kind of exciting. And it seems like they're going to hopefully go in this direction more. It's, all right, you know of these stories. We know that it cost the group several lives in order to obtain these plans. So now we actually get to see that story of how they got those plans.
And who those people were.
Yeah, so it's kind of a great way to, you know, be able to delve into the nostalgic part of the universe while telling a new story, but that you are familiar with.
I guess, and apparently this one's going to have a darker tone than the other Star Wars films. That was surprising to hear.
Yeah, so I'll be kind of curious to see how dark they go, what they do with it. Is it going to be almost kind of when they went kind of darker with the Christopher Nolan Batman? Is it going to be that type of an environment? Is it going to be less spaceshipy focused and more like on the boots on the ground trying to sneak in, almost kind of like a heist movie type of a thing?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just know I have a feeling we'll see obviously R2-D2 with it because he's holding the Death Star plans in the original New Hope. So that'll be cool to see. And this will apparently be the first standalone film, and the series are going to be called Star Wars Anthologies. So there's definitely going to be more of them.
Yeah, it seems that Disney's going to be taking kind of a Marvel approach to it. And the weird thing to think is, so in the course of 18 months, we're going to get 3 new Star Wars films.
Yeah.
And we've had a total of 6 since 1977.
That's nuts, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, within a course of 18 months, we're going to have 3 brand new Star Wars films, which is amazing, but also I wonder if we're going to get overloaded.
And if you look at the release schedule for Disney right now, my God.
Yeah.
With everything they own, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, everything, you look at the releases for every movie. If listeners, go and buy Disney stock. That's all I can say. Jeez.
Yeah, it's like their film part of their company is just dominating right now just because of all the giant properties they have. It's a little unreal.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming out with so many Marvel films and Star Wars films at the same time, going at the same time with how much money they have locked into all these.
Yeah, I just wonder, though, if they're going to end up oversaturating the market and if people are going to get tired of it. Because especially, at least with the Marvel Universe, you have such a variety of characters and universes, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, completely different from anything that they've done before, but still takes place in the same universe. However, if they take that same approach with Star Wars movies and they all take place in that same universe, that could get very tiring very quickly.
Yeah, and so the release date for that will be December 16th, 2016. So pretty much exactly a year after Star Wars Episode 7.
And then Episode 8, I believe,
2017.
Is slated, yeah, it's for the May.
Spring. Yeah, spring of 2017. So you'll have a little bit.
So
wow,
you'll have 18 months. So you'll have 6 months between films.
No, you won't, actually, because if it's May 2017, that's December 16th, 2016.
Yeah, it'll be about 6 months.
6 months between two Star Wars films. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to take the big Marvel approach. So
they are, but, I mean, we'll see if it backfires just because you're not going to have as much variety in that universe as opposed to the Marvel universe where you just have so many different types of characters. You know, as we've seen with Daredevil, they've been able to go really gritty with that. It's unlike anything we've seen before.
Yeah, and then on the other hand, you have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is what we're going to dive into right now. All right, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to stop with the Star Wars talk and go into another Disney property. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So Tristan has finally caught up.
Yes, I've been behind for several weeks.
Yay. All right, so apparently Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you guys have been watching, has been having Avenger tie-ins, and this was the first week of it, and it is definitely a tie-in.
Yeah, and I was wondering when we start to see tie-ins to the movie and how much what we see in the show will have an impact on the film. Because you got to think, they can't go too overboard because they can't make it. So if you haven't watched the show, if you watched the movie, if you're going to miss out on stuff. But they can do just enough that if they have seen the movie and you have been keeping up with the show, you get like some expanded plot.
Exactly. And it definitely adds something to it, which I like. And the whole Avengers tie-in for this one is that, like, in the last episode at least, they were Coulson and Ward, because Ward is back in the mix again.
Yeah, he had been absent for several episodes.
Yeah, apparently they're talking about how Hydra is working with special people as well, which is the Inhumans, which is another movie going to come out, but not for a long while. I think it's 2018 or 19.
I believe so. It's a ways away.
I mean, Avengers have really taken a really early leap on this. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., sorry. But the Avengers tie-in is basically like the way they were talking, like, oh, these people with special abilities, Hydra's been working on them. Like, wait. Captain America, Winter Soldier, there was Hydra working with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought is that they're using them as Inhumans instead of mutants, which they are.
Yeah, well, because they can't technically be called mutants because Fox owns the rights to X-Men.
X-Men, yeah. So, I mean, until something happens with that, like happened with Spider-Man recently, they're going to be Inhumans. But it's kind of cool seeing that tie-in that that's where they've been, and Hydra's been working with these people just like Skye, and Skye is like one of them.
And it would be nice if, so we have one more new episode of Avengers before the film, of Agents before the new Avengers film comes out.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of nice to see if for those last two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Avengers comes out, if we got a cameo of some actors from the film.
It would be nice to see like Quicksilver or Scarlet Witch or something like they set them free from Hydra. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they got free.
Yeah, just some little tie-in, because some of the really good episodes have been when they've had the extra characters from the Thor movies in episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's just a really nice way to tie those in and see those characters from the films on the smaller screen. So I'm hoping there'll be more of that, as we'll see some of those major characters from the movies in the show.
And I'd also like to see some of the characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in Avengers.
That would be nice to help tie the two together.
Especially with what S.H.I.E.L.D. is and what's going on with Nick Fury and everything else for S.H.I.E.L.D. It would be nice to see Coulson comes back for that, and it would be nice to see some of like the less like May or somebody like that come into Avengers from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, it'd be great to see Coulson Fury seen in the new movie, because we did get a brief scene with Fury in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it'd be great to see them interact again.
Yeah, because it's been 2 years, and remember, all the Avengers think they're dead. So, I mean, he's dead. So, I mean, it'd be kind of a cool surprise.
It'd be nice to see him come back and interact with some of the gang, even if it's just Fury, because Fury knows he's alive, but he's the only one.
Exactly. And apparently, they've already announced that, you know, like we just said, Ward is back with them. But by the end, the whole original cast will be back looking for Skye.
Yeah,
it's definitely kind of cool.
Seems we're going to go full circle and kind of reboot from where the series began with looking for Skye.
Yeah. So on top of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to go from Marvel to DC.
I wish I was more excited to talk about DC.
No one's ever excited to talk about DC.
I'm excited when I talk about their television universe, because they've been doing a really good job. I'm really enjoying Arrow. They've done good stuff with the Flash as well.
Yeah, but they're not mixing it with the movie universe. They're making their own separate things, and it's just not working. I mean, there's a working formula over at Marvel. Just copy it.
Yeah.
Just copy. You copied everything else. Just copy it.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, because it's almost kind of they've reversed, because traditionally DC had bright primary colors and all their old films and their comics and whatnot. Now they've gone extremely dark, you know, even for Superman, for color scheme and everything. And so, speaking of Superman and Batman, so we did get the new Batman versus Superman trailer.
It leaked early, actually.
Yeah, so apparently. We got it leaked, and then due to the leak, they decided to release an official copy, because the leaked copy was terrible. It was really shaky, just something that someone shot on his cell phone.
It was leaked on Friday, and it was supposed to be released on Monday in IMAXs. I feel like after seeing it, I could have waited a long time.
Yeah.
It rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, kind of the problem is, and the smart thing Marvel did is, everyone had an individual movie, and then they brought them all together for Avengers.
Exactly. It was good to see them all, you know? You had your origins.
Yeah, but now we've had a Superman origin story, but they're rebooting Batman, so they're going to have to do a Batman origin story in addition to the Batman versus Superman storyline they're going with for this.
And that's where it doesn't get it. Like, you can't just... If you had Christian Bale, maybe, and you have the guy from Man of Steel, that's fine. If you're Christian Bale, it maybe would work.
Yeah, if you are, you've already had the origin, you've introduced everyone, you have your cast set, so now you can focus on the story of Batman versus Superman. But I don't know how they're going to do the new origin story for whatever version of Batman they're going with for this, and do that storyline of them facing off.
No, I mean, it just, to me, like, just some, even the aspect, I mean, I guess in the trailer, like, you know, they're saying Superman's a false god. And, you know, he's not right. And, like, Batman obviously seems like he doesn't, like, Superman doesn't know if he's good or bad. And Batman doesn't like this guy going around and with superpowers that's really powerful. And, you know, then Lego Batman shows up. And if you guys ever see the trailer, like, it looks like Lego Batman. He really does with all the armor.
The armor I do actually like because it does remind me of the comic. So I like the way that looks. It looks pretty badass. But the rest of it, and also this, the subtitle for the movie is Dawn of Justice. So they're also going to be introducing the Justice League, presumably?
Yeah, I guess Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is in it. And, like, you can't just introduce Wonder Woman in a Batman Superman. It just, no, you need to, it's separate movies. And, like, that formula works so well. And Marvel has shown it works so well. And they made so much money from it. But DC is just like, oh, let's half-ass it.
Yeah, and that was my original, what I wasn't sure about with the first Avengers movie, is how are you going to have all these major characters working together and give them equal screen time, story time, and everything so it doesn't feel like you're too focused on one or the other. They're going to have the same problem with this, except they also have to introduce all the origin story for all these characters as well.
Yeah, and I think at this point, the reason it's going this way is DC is behind. And they're so far behind, they're panicking. And they're just trying to throw stuff out.
Yeah, basically, they're just trying to jump straight ahead to an Avengers-style movie of having an ensemble cast of all these different heroes. But we haven't had any heroes introduced yet, except for Superman.
And the problem is, yeah, you can hurry up and do this Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, oh, look at that, and then look, Green Lantern, and then Justice League. No, like, okay, yeah, I get what you're trying to do, but you started it wrong, and you made everybody, like, kind of, about your movies to begin with. You don't if you don't have a strong beginning, nobody's going to go to the end Justice League.
Yeah, and I wasn't very impressed by the Superman movie. I'm not a huge fan of the Superman character in general, yeah, but the movie itself was not impressive. So they're not off to a strong start.
No.
No, I mean, but we did get our first look at a few things in that. We have the new Batmobile. We have...
which looks strikingly familiar to the Christian Bale Batmobile.
Yeah, it does look a lot like the Tumbler. So we're going to have to, you know, how are they going to introduce that? Where does he get all his gear and equipment and whatnot? So we got our first look at him, Ben Affleck, outside the suit. We'd already seen just that photo of him in the suit. But now we did get the first clip of him talking in his Batman raspy voice.
Do you bleed?
Yeah, I mean, no. I like the voice he's going with for that better than the Christian Bale Chainsmoker voice.
It's true, but still, like, just hearing that, it was such a bad line, and like, I'm like, ugh.
The line didn't bother me. I was fine with that because, I don't know, it's a face-off with Superman, so that works fine, but just... I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, but yeah, expectations are low.
March 25th, 2016, that comes out, so next March. However, a movie that was supposed to come out in March has now been delayed. Apparently, the World of Warcraft movie has pushed its release date back by 3 months. It was originally scheduled for release on March 11th, 2016, but now apparently it's been pushed back to June 10th, 2016. So is this a good move or a bad move? If you guys know, I don't know if a lot of people know about the World of Warcraft movie that's coming out.
They did do just kind of some teaser footage for previously. Teaser, yeah. I think that came out at the last BlizzCon.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot, but I mean...
It was pretty good.
Yeah. What I've seen of it, it seems like it's going to be great. If you guys know, the Horde leader is actually the guy who plays Ragnar in Vikings from the History Channel. Which is a very good actor, very, you know, does that job well, and I can see him doing a Horde character very well.
A little Viking-like.
Yeah. You know, they're making all, like, the weapons. They're doing it from, like, the original Warcraft, you know, storyline, humans and orcs, you know. So I'm excited for the film, but I'm wondering why the push back up, and I'm wondering, I know they kind of maybe want a summer release, more money.
Well, I mean, it could also just be... Blizzard has a history with their games is they won't release something until they feel it's ready. So if they don't feel like the movie is going to be ready on time, they have no problem pushing that back.
Yeah. According to sources, they didn't say it was not because it wasn't ready, but obviously it could be. They just aren't saying it. My other thought is maybe they didn't want to compete with a week or two after having to deal with Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, so it could be the movie lineup for that time of year next summer is not going to be as packed as it will be with Batman versus Superman and whatever else we have for Marvel movies coming out.
Yeah, I'm excited for the movie. We'll see what happens. Obviously, it's still really early for this one.
Yeah, we don't even have a trailer or anything, just kind of that little teaser footage from BlizzCon. We'll see. I'm not super excited for it. I'm not super invested in the Warcraft universe, but from the test footage, it does look pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something they've been working on for years now, so it would be nice to actually see it come out. So Marvel news again. Daredevil's getting a second season, which is awesome, because it was a great, great show.
Yeah, and Netflix seems very quick to either renew shows or they'll order two seasons of a show before the first season of the season come out.
This one, they definitely waited. I think Daredevil was kind of risky. Like I'm glad they started with Daredevil. It's a character most people know. But it was done so well. And the guy who plays, Charlie Cox, who plays Daredevil, did such a great job.
Yeah, I'm only four episodes in, but I'm really enjoying it. It's well done. It's well shot. It's got a nice gritty feel to it. And it would be a little sad if they didn't do a second season. This isn't really a spoiler, but he doesn't end up in the Daredevil costume until the last episode. Basically, yeah, the end of the last episode.
This is definitely a straight prequel series, like a origin story series, which is kind of cool to see. Like, and especially with the mixes, like we said, I think last week, with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, about how like the reasons like the Avengers first film was the reasons this is all happening. Like, the destruction is what put these people in charge.
Yeah, so it's great seeing that tie in. And then Charlie Cox actually said he would like to have a cameo in the Civil War movie.
Which I think would be a fantastic idea. I mean, he's one of the few heroes that we still have that has a secret identity. And that's what Civil War is all about.
Yeah, and he also plays a role in the storyline in the comics, too. So it'd be great to see them tie together more their television, now their Netflix universe with their film universe.
I mean, I know they're doing the whole Netflix, like, four series and then a movie with AKA Jessica Jones, which is the next one to come out. But it would be cool to see him in the cinematic universe, especially with Captain America Civil War, where it's all about people's secret identities and if they should be kept secret.
Yeah, so that would be really great if we do see him in some manner in Civil War. So hopefully. But in the meantime, I'm looking forward to having a second season and actually seeing the story advance.
So my question is, though, with AKA Jessica Jones, even though it's a more unknown hero, will it still do as well as Daredevil?
Hard to say. I mean, at this point, anything with kind of the Marvel name on it seems to be doing pretty well.
Exactly. And with David Tennant casted as the villain, that's a big plus.
Yeah. And so you're drawing across kind of fandom right there. You've got Marvel. You've got David Tennant from Doctor Who. So already you're going to be drawing in a lot of people just for those two things. And with the quality of Netflix production lately, people will watch it just because they'll see Netflix. Okay, they'll attain it to HBO. It's going to be high quality.
Exactly. And especially, I guess Luke Cage will be in this one before his own series. And Luke Cage is a more known Marvel hero, and then Iron Fist as well. Then we have the Defenders movie, which will come out on Netflix with all, it's actually more of a mini series, but the Defenders with all four of them, which would be kind of cool to see their own kind of little Avengers kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the nice thing that Netflix has the ability to do is you can take a bigger risk. You can try a little bit more of a different direction, lesser known characters, and experiment with them more.
Exactly. Oh, guess what? It's Game of Thrones time, guys.
Episode 2.
I know some of you probably watched this a while ago, but you know, we'll be sticking with the as they air way of going. And I will say episode 2 was fantastic.
It was really good. I've been pleased by it.
One thing, I guess HBO did send cease and desist letters to New York bars.
Yeah, so yeah. This is really weird because HBO has kind of had a little bit of a history of, you know, basically bragging like, oh, we're the most pirated show on the internet. We take that as a compliment and whatnot. But there are several bars in New York who will basically have viewing parties, you know, just like you would for a football game.
Yeah.
But they actually sent cease and desist letters to these bars holding these viewing parties. And they also sent cease and desist letters to Periscope, which is owned by Twitter, which is their basically way to mobily broadcast, which also seems really odd because who wants to watch someone broadcasting an episode of Game of Thrones from their phone?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a huge deal. I don't see people do that. I think a lot of this is coming from the, obviously the first four episodes were leaked, which is a big hit for them.
But it seems odd that they'd be worried about a couple hundred people in bars watching it versus the millions of people who have already downloaded the leaked copies.
I agree. And I think the other thing is that HBO Now. And with HBO Now, they're like, okay, we gave you your option. Stop pirating. Stop watching other places. Go get it.
Yeah. And the other thing is with bars, because that is basically deemed as a public performance of it. So for sports games and whatnot, there's a different type of package that bars can subscribe to because they're doing a public viewing versus a private viewing in your own home. And I don't know if HBO has a type of thing that they offer like that. So it might be they do, but these bars are just, you know, subscribe to your generic HBO $15 a month versus what they would charge you if you have, you know, 100 people viewing it.
Yeah, I mean,
but either way, it's still really disappointing. It's like, really? You're worried about a couple hundred people in a bar? If anything, that's going to stifle people's opinion of you.
Well, a few weeks ago, we were disappointed with the fact that they made ThinkGeek take down their April Fool's stuff.
Yeah, so they seem to be really clamping down and putting tighter reins on the Game of Thrones IP.
Yeah, but speaking of episode two, we saw Arya Stark for the first time. And that was really cool with the Faceless Men. So that whole section was really cool to see.
Yeah, her storyline right now is great, and I really want to just see more Arya.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to find out more of the background of the Faceless Men, if anything.
And it looks like we'll be finding out some more next week, because at the teaser of this, they had a line that all men work for somebody.
Yeah,
all men must serve.
So we don't know what that means. Obviously, you know, it could be anything.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, who do the Faceless Assassins work for, report to?
Exactly. The other thing was, obviously, Sansa, Arya's sister. Brienne found Sansa, but of course refused to go, just like Arya.
Brienne
is not having a good time.
No, she's having rough luck, and Sansa was traveling with Littlefinger.
Yeah, that was... Littlefinger's really kind of pulled the strings on her brain a little bit, I think, for this one, which he does for everybody, really.
Yeah, and it seems like he's going to keep her close, because right now she's the key to the North.
Exactly, and it'd be interesting to see where this goes and how he seems to like handle this and what he's going to do with her to get the keys to the North.
And he might have a little bit of competition for control of the North.
Yeah, it was Mr. Jon Snow. So, because apparently, in this episode, Stannis Baratheon offered Jon Snow to be named Stark, Jon Stark.
Yeah, so he offered to officially recognize him as the Stark, which would give him control of Winterfell and the North.
Yeah, so it seems like he wants to form an alliance here, and the way Stannis is putting it as like, you know, vengeance for your family, vengeance for, you know, it was not right, and Stannis recognizes that this wasn't right.
Yeah, but more so, he recognizes that the North will only follow someone from the North.
Yeah, and if he gets a Stark, the North will follow him.
Yeah, but otherwise, so he's hoping between, you know, hopefully the North and the Wildlings that they'll both follow Jon Snow.
However, Jon Snow now has a choice because he's now Master Commander of the Night's Watch.
Yeah, and so the way they did this seems to be a little bit of a departure from the books, because I guess from the books, Sam... So they had a vote to see who would be the next Lord Commander of the Night's Watch. Jon Snow ended up winning, with the deciding vote being cast by Targaryen. Targaryen. But I guess in the books, Sam actually rigged the vote. But probably just for time-wise, we have 5 minutes to tell the story. We're just going to do it this way.
Yeah, and it was still good the way they told it, and I agree with it. And you know,
it worked out fine.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
he's still,
it.
You know... Lord Commander of the Night's Watch, but now he has a choice. Does he stay Lord Commander, or does he run the North and become a Stark for his family?
And also, he's probably now a target from everyone else who wanted to be Lord Commander, just doesn't like him in general.
Yeah, which there's a few people probably in Castle Black that will definitely take him on for that.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what happens, if he will end up, you know, taking on the Stark name and working with Stannis or what, and also what the Red Woman has planned for him.
Exactly, and we will tell you guys next week, because obviously Sunday we will be getting episode 3 and we'll talk about that next week.
Yes.
So obviously, speaking of leaked stuff, like we do with Game of Thrones and some other stuff, the end credit scenes for Age of Ultron was leaked.
And this is odd, because Joss Whedon had come out and said that there was no end scene after the credits.
Yeah, he even went as far as when this came out, he called it fake.
Which is really odd that you you'd make a public announcement that there's going to be no end credits, and this movie's already been released overseas. So apparently this does seem to be legit, but then to come out and say again that there is no end credit.
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing this. I mean, he keeps saying, oh, you know, there's 40 minutes of credits. I don't want people to stand there. But, like, at the same time, the clip clearly says Age of Ultron. Like, it doesn't look faded. It's taped off of a theater screen in a European, a Spanish-speaking country in Europe. And you look at the release dates, and it's like a day before the movie came out in that country. It all adds up.
Yeah, so it seems like it'll be legit. I mean, we'll find out for sure on Thursday once Ultron comes out in the U.S., but it seems to be they're throwing up a lot of smoke to try to say that this isn't real, this isn't existing. I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah, it just seems like maybe they're trying to get more hype for end credit scenes for people who stay and want to stay even beyond, even after being told no. To be honest, I was going to stay anyway. Even if you said no, I'm still going to stay. I don't trust Joss Whedon at this point. Just like Stephen Moffat, you know?
Yeah, but it does seem like they're trying to get away from having to do the end credit scene, because before it was just a fun thing, but now it almost feels like they're tied into having to do it, but they might try to get out of that habit.
Like, as we said, if they don't do it, this will be the first one since The Incredible Hulk in 2008, and that's a long time.
Yeah, but, like, as it was for, I think, the first Avengers film, that end credit scene was filmed much later because they thought about it. It's like, oh, we need a end scene for the credits?
Yeah, and...
So, like, that wasn't planned on originally, in exactly, having that scene. Yeah. And there's a... I think it's Captain America is hiding his face the whole time because he actually has a beard for a different part he was playing at the time.
Yeah, I heard that, actually. That was kind of funny. They came back and filmed that, like, a few weeks after, like, before it was going to come out, even. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, so he didn't plan on doing one for that, so maybe he was trying to get out in front of this and saying there isn't going to be one.
But then there was one, so now he's like, oh, crap, I got to cover this up.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out on Thursday for sure.
Exactly. All right, and now, obviously, it's time for Loot Crate.
Yay, Loot.
Loot Crate. So if you guys don't know what Loot Crate is, Loot Crate is a service where you basically pay a monthly fee, and they send you a box full of nerd stuff.
Random stuff.
Of loot. Well, it's more random. It's based on a theme. This month's theme was fantasy. So let's you can hear it. Can you hear that? Yeah, that's Loot Crate. You can obviously see it. We're also going to put a video up on YouTube of in our Facebook site of us opening Loot Crate, so that you guys can actually see everything that's in there, not just hear it.
Because it's really exciting to hear an unboxing.
Exactly, because that's the most. That's what you guys all want, to hear things being unboxed. So let's open this up, and our theme here is fantasy. So we'll see what we got. All right.
Now, this is the first Loot Crate you've gotten.
This is the first Loot Crate. We'll be doing this probably till October, and we'll see after that what happens. So let's just open it up. First of all, we have some nice artwork here. I'll show it to Tristan and Cito. Looks like a map.
Is it a map of something specific or just a generic topographical map?
It kind of, I don't know. It just looks like a map. I'm going to be honest. It just looks like a map. So the first thing, obviously, we can see is we have a T-shirt. So let's take the T-shirt out here. It's like a red T-shirt. All right. We have, I just faced it towards you. So what does it look like?
We have a dragon / ampersand.
Dragon ampersand. I'm going to guess that means Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
So we have a Dungeons and Dragons shirt. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it's neat looking.
Yeah, it's kind of cool looking. All right.
So, and D&D 5 came out not too long ago. So.
Yeah, it definitely hit based on the fantasy theme. And, you know, we have a booklet here of everything that comes in the Loot Crate. We'll look at that later. Oh, look at this. We got a bow tie.
What's on it? I can't tell from here.
It is a dragon and 20-sided die bow tie. And apparently this is a Loot Crate exclusive.
So also kind of falls in with the D&D T-shirt.
Exactly. So, like, this is, you could wear the T-shirt with the bow tie, maybe, you know.
That's a terrible fashion choice.
Exactly. This is a nerd box, all right?
Not fashion box.
All right. So, wow, these are actually, we have Princess Bride playing cards.
Those are kind of cool looking.
These are kind of cool. Let's see what they look like, actually, inside, if I can open them. I don't have, all right, well, we can continue to look in a second. Hold on.
Riveting radio.
Riveting radio. You guys, obviously, I hope that every person listening to this has heard Princess Bride. So,
I really want to read the book that he came out with recently.
Which, oh, the As You Wish?
Yeah, As You Wish.
From the main actor, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that's really good. I'd like to read that. You know, it's kind of like his story about the making of The Princess Bride and the production.
Yeah, so we have we open these up. We did finally get it open. Oh, cool, look at that. We got a little main card to block the back cards if you want to. And then we have all the cards. Really nice artwork.
Huh. Is that an exclusive or is that something in general?
This is something in general, it says, so. Yep. Nice. It's Andre the Giant, and it says, "Anybody want a peanut?" There you go.
That's a neat set to do for that deck is really
cool.
Cards.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's they're nicely coated, plastic coated. Yeah, very cool. All right, next we have it looks like a Harry Potter baggage tie.
<It's a laughs> platform bag, 9 3/4.
9 3/4. So that's kind of cool. Next we have, looks like Game of Thrones. We have a Game of Thrones magnet set.
I'm almost surprised it's not all Game of Thrones with the show just coming out.
Yeah, this is like, it looks like House Stark, Lannister, Targaryen, and Baratheon.
All right, so all the major houses.
All the major houses. And it looks like we have something else Game of Thrones. It's a Loot Crate exclusive.
So a couple exclusives. I wonder if that's every month they have like one or two exclusive items.
They might, yeah. It seems like that way. It seems like what I've read about it. It looks like it is a Stark USB drive. That is kind of cool. Looks like it is 4 gigabytes. So, yeah.
Not bad.
Very cool. Stark. Yeah. Little Stark symbol.
Yeah, some neat stuff. Anything else?
And we have hold on, what is this?
Something blow up.
Something blow up, obviously. We have
a crown.
A blow up crown. This is a blow up crown. Interesting.
I guess Game of Thrones related?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, so that's the throwaway item they threw in that month.
Yeah, wow. That was a lot of I'm king of the podcast. So,
Kings in the gaming universe don't last very long, so you might not want to be king.
Yes, exactly. Hail to the king, baby. So that seems like everything for Loot Crate. I lost my crown. I don't know if you guys can't see that, but if you watch the video, you probably could. So we're actually going to give away two of these items. So we're going to give away the bow tie, which is kind of cool.
Exclusive.
It's obviously Loot Crate exclusive as well. And the 9 3/4 Harry Potter baggage tie.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, there you go. So basically, for you guys to win this, we're going to do a question. And basically, you're going to email us your name and address in the subject line. I'm about to say the thing. So in the subject line, it's going to say Boba Fett because the question is, how would you bring Boba Fett back into the Star Wars universe? Not from what we've already said that was in the books, but how would you bring him back to the Star Wars universe? So send us your name, address, and in the subject line, write Boba Fett and send it to nerdspastics@gmail.com by Wednesday the 29th at midnight. And we'll pick a winner on next week's show.
All righty.
Yep. So if you guys have any questions, thanks for joining us. Any topics you want to talk about, you can email us at the email we just gave, nerdspastics@gmail.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and on Twitter. And as always, guys, stay nerdy.
See you next week.
See you next week, guys.
I don't want to go.